LRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Jordan Cleveland.
Are you ready?
9 p.m. TNT. Suns Lakers. That's the only thing we're going to be worried about today, right? Suns Lakers, baby. Game 3. Oh my goodness, what an interesting night. And I don't mean that maybe sometimes in a positive way. In the NBA, yes, some games. We'll talk about the winners and losers in terms of who had the most points than the other team, Jordan. But there were some things that took place on the court in two separate games that has a lot of people talking, and I think it may have you talking as well. This hour, John DeShazer joins us. NewOrleansSaints.com covers your Saints. Also, of course, color analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans. He'll join us to talk about specifically what I'm about to get into and his thoughts on tonight's, you know, Game 3 with the Suns and Lakers. Bucks and Heat going at it again today. Milwaukee has a 2-0 series lead. Their game's at 6:30 over on TNT. And NBA TV gets the Nuggets and Trailblazers at 9:30, Jordan. So we will touch on those games. And then, of course, last night, you had a couple of games in action, your winners and losers. I don't know. Do you think the off-the-court incidents were bigger than perhaps the scores in the game yesterday's, Jordan?
Definitely not the Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks game. I think that game, I know there was an incident in that game, right, but I think the overall storyline of the Knicks winning
101-92 and how everybody is just losing
that one,
their mind.
That's the top story.
Screaming A, I think, is still awake. I mean, everybody, it's the greatest place ever, except for what I think happened that, I don't know, I guess you can call it a mecca, I'll call it a sewer. I don't know. We'll have fun with that. 76ers 120-95 over the Wizards. Russell Westbrook rolled an ankle on his way out. That is one of the storylines we'll get into. And then last night, goodness gracious, Ja put up 47 points. And they still lost. 141 to 129. Again, Jordan, it's why we've talked about it. I mean, that guy is incredible. Ja Morant, ready for the postseason. We talked about it last night. The difference that Spider makes, right? Spider, I mean,
Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell is the guy. I mean, he makes a difference. And again, it's the overall, we were talking about this yesterday on the show, watching games through Pelicans glasses, right? I mean, I watch things, I look at things as, whether I like it or not, being a Pels fan and being a New Orleanian, I look at how the team locally can compete against the, your backcourt's got to have somebody that can score. Am I wrong on this? I mean, you got to have somebody. I'm not saying got to be that guy, but literally last night, in two of those three games, you had guards really make a difference. Now, Mitchell at 25, Conley 20. That's 45 points, Jordan, from the starting backcourt of the Jazz. Pelicans' backcourt at times this year maybe had, I don't know, 5 points total from the starting backcourt. Like, I'm not joking. I mean, you get what I'm getting at? Like, that's 45 that steps onto the court, man. Right then and there. I mean, that you have to, you know, somewhat make up and defend. Gobert at 21, Bogdanovich 18, 14. I mean, look, they put up 141 points. Their reason they're the number one seed. Their reason to have 52 wins. They're good. It's offensive firepower everywhere, isn't it? It's incredible. And you look at Memphis, I mean, Brooks put up 23. Valanciunas 18, Morant 47, but still, man, it's crazy. We all know about the 3-point shooting. Remember that, Jordan? Sometimes when you try to beat Utah, you better be able to knock down the three. Memphis 8 of 23. We're 19 of 39. So, kind of a difference there. So anyway, we'll touch on that as well. Nate Osborne, head coach of your Norla Gold, they have a bye this week. He's scheduled to come on at 1:15. When I talked to him on Sunday, Jordan, he said he may be on a beach, but he'll come on.
Also, you might want to be prepared, because when we're doing the pregame show over at the Gold Mine, He was disappointed that you weren't there.
Yeah, I know.
And he said he's going to give you a lot of grief. Going to give you a lot of grief.
That's fine.
During this interview.
That's fine.
Mates, not teammates. And you're a teammate.
Oh, is that how it works?
Me and Maddie are mates.
Oh, is that what it is? Huh?
Me, Maddie, and Nate are mates.
Are mates, huh?
You're just a teammate.
What are you, Dr. Seuss all of a sudden? You do one remote over there and all of a sudden you're mates with Nate? That's confusing. Ross Jackson, 130, is going to join us. I got three sound bites from three quarterbacks that I find it's going to be interesting today that we'll touch on here. And I'll play them now to kind of set it up. But again, we'll talk a little bit more about this. It's sort of a question we can throw out an hour or two if you like, or even throw out now as a question of the day. Of the new starting quarterbacks in the league, your draft picks, Jordan, those are starting quarterbacks. Well, some may be. You don't know, right? I mean, like, every single minute I look up at ESPN, the show Justin Fields at OTAs right now. I mean, they're begging for him to start, and Iggy's like, no, it's not happening, and it's Dalton. Dalton time. New England. Is Mac Jones going to see time at some point this year over Cam Newton? But right now, they're not slated to be the starter. Right, Jordan? I mean, it makes sense. Like, last year, Burrow was, I mean, we know, you know, Herbert will be as full-time starter. So I don't know if you want to count them. I guess you can. If you want to say who has the most pressure, the younger or newer quarterback, Stafford in L.A., right? Goff in Detroit. Tua. Lots about him being talked about last year, right? Key moments of the game, Jordan. You remember what Brian Flores did over there? Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, get in the game and try to save us at the end. That was bizarre, right? Fitzpatrick starts out really well with the team. They wind up being 10-6, but they start out really well, and then in the bye week, they bench him. Remember that presser? Oh, my gosh. That was heartbreaking, wasn't it? It's like, man, I don't know what else I got to do. I mean, remember that? His press conference? Heartbreaking. People felt for him. Anyway. So, you know, remember, Jordan, pretty much everybody's having OTAs but the Saints and the champion Buccaneers. And Tua yesterday talked, and he was asked, so what do you need to improve on? You ready for this one?
You know, getting to the line of scrimmage, kind of getting that order of operation down, my cadence, and then pre-snap reads, you know, and then my post-snap reads, just the whole shebang with that. You know, I felt, you know, I wasn't comfortable with my rookie year, you know, so just working on a lot of those things in year two to, you know, be better.
So basically being a quarterback, Jordan, he's got to work on pretty much everything there, right? I didn't find anything. I mean, look, he's being honest, right? Keyshawn Johnson this morning.
If I'm a betting guy, and Tua said a lot of it is on him, those guys did their jobs. Mm-hmm. As a veteran quarterback that's been in the league 16 years or whatever he's been in the league, Ryan Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. and a offensive coordinator in Shane Gailey, I'm thinking that they're probably on the right side and he's probably on the wrong side of things.
Okay.
But then here's the twist to this. Two new offensive coordinators are coming in there, dual roles. So he now has a new system that he has to now learn through OTA's mini camp and training camp before the start of the season. So to me, I'm going to be like, hey, are you sure you don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Oh. Were you expecting that? A lot's being made about the Aaron Rodgers situation, Jordan, when it comes to Jordan Love. Remember? With Jordan Love?
Caught in the crossfires.
Caught in the crossfires, right? I mean, after all, this is your very own
Jordan.
Soundboard.
I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together.
Yeah, that's so. But a lot of people are talking about that. What would that do to a guy like you just heard to? He's got to learn all that other stuff and be comfortable. You imagine you throw in Rodgers in there because Rodgers is going to be your quarterback for at least what, 3 more years, if Miami does that, huh? Or are you sending Tua to Green Bay and then what are you doing with Tua? If you're Miami. You think they would do that? Remember, Tuesday, June 1st, buddy. June 1st deadline. Boy, this morning, everybody. I mean, Diana Rossini. Did you get anything on Diana Rossini on Julio?
I got what she was talking about with the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, let's see what she had to say.
You take a look at their record over the last few years. This isn't a front office that has made a lot of mistakes. They've done really well. They've had winning seasons. They've gone 13-3 the last few seasons when they weren't winning for a while there. So it's hard to criticize the collective decision making of this front office over the last few seasons, despite maybe some of the wide receiver stuff that we could talk about another time. But I just feel like Aaron has had issues, whether it's the contract, whether it's the receivers, and then the timing of it all. This all comes out when he hears a West Coast team like the Niners, where he could possibly get a new deal. Then this is the time when he pushes it forward. I just think all of it seems a little out of control, actually, as it's obvious he's just choosing himself. He told Kenny Mayne, I love the people. I love the fans. I love my head coach. I don't know. That's just a weird way to show love to a team, if you ask me.
Oh, was that a little jab there, Jordan? That was a little jab? See how she talks about Julio.
I've been told that the Titans have had conversations with Atlanta. Atlanta has taken calls from a lot of different teams. But in terms of realistically happening, a source shared with me, it most likely will not happen with the Tennessee Titans. It always could. But at this point right now, the Tennessee Titans, I would not consider to be a lead contender in landing Julio Jones after that June 1 date.
Oh, would you like to see Julio in Tennessee? Jordan, where would you like to see him? I mean, be honest, Derrick Henry over there. I was saying this, Damian Woody was saying it this morning, when it comes to Julio should be calling first, and a lot of different people too. Baltimore, huh? You think that would help Lamar Jackson? Not speaking of Lamar Jackson, again, quarterbacks speaking yesterday, he was one of them. He was asked about, you know, the extension, the new deal. You getting a new deal? Where's the new deal? What's going on?
I'm really focused on the season. You know, I'm focusing on trying to win. I'm not really worried about if it get done this year or next year. You know, I'm just trying to build and stack, and we're going to see. We don't know yet. I would love to be here forever. You know, I love Baltimore. I love the whole organization. I love everybody in the building. But hopefully we'll be making something happen pretty soon or whenever.
Let me ask you this. He runs an awful lot, doesn't he? Like, he is their offense, isn't he? He runs an awful lot, too, in that offense, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jordan, I'm him. I'm going to make it pretty clear as I can that before that season starts, I need a deal. You think that's fair for a guy like him? Because, again, he can get injured pretty or easier, perhaps, than most quarterbacks in the fact that he is a running quarterback in that offense. That's how they use him, right? And if you're the Ravens, are you kind of in that situation where like, hey, I love this guy. I want to show him love. But are they going, well, he does run an awful lot. What if he gets hurt? Do I want to pay him $100 million plus? Like, are you paying Lamar Jackson? I mean, Dak, what, got 40, didn't he? Are you paying him 40? I'm going to be honest. His style and how are they using him, I'm a little leery of that. That's a lot of money, and what if I lose him? I mean, it's what I've said for the last 2 years. I love the guy. I love his athleticism. I love what he can do. But I said, in a playoff game, it takes one play. And it could be in the first quarter, it could be in the fourth quarter, and I know you can do that at any time of the year. But in the playoffs, he is beyond your best player. He's it. And what happened last year? Got hurt. Right? Concussed. I know, it's an interesting thing. So there's a lot of different storylines with these quarterbacks. And then you go to Indy and Carson Wentz. He spoke yesterday about pressure.
This is the game we play. This is the position that I've chosen, you know. And there's always pressure. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be expectations. It's been the same thing my whole career. It's just go to work. Just go to work, get better every day, and block out the outside noise, good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. I felt a lot of excitement around here and a lot of, you know, obviously we have high expectations and all of those things, but just the culture and how, you know, it's just a one day at a time mindset. That's the mindset of this team, and that's the mindset that I'm going to take every single day I come to work.
I'm asking this as we go to our first break today, Jordan. And again, we can throw that out there. Which quarterback do you think in the NFL has the most pressure? And then where would you put Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill? Would you put Winston Hill? Again, there's a quarterback competition. See what I'm doing with my fingers here? It's a little air quote.
There is a quarterback. Ian Book is...
Stop. You know what? Anyway, just answer this and just tweet what I'm saying. Like, where would you put the Saints... How about this? Where would you put the Saints quarterback battle winner or Saints, whoever the winning quarterback is?
This is a very long question.
Well, I messed it up.
Okay? I'm just going to put who has the most pressure as a quarterback in the NFL this upcoming season.
No, where is the winning Saints quarterback rank in the pressure compared to the other quarterbacks in the NFL? Pressure? That's terrible wording.
Jesus.
Anyway, point is, like, Tua. Okay, would you say Tua or Winston?
Tua, because
Winston or Wentz?
Wentz.
Okay. Jared Goff. I mean, not Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford or Winston?
Winston.
Really?
Yeah.
So you named Winston two of three, right?
Didn't no.
Or three? A three?
No. I said you weren't listening.
I just confused you, didn't I?
I'm so confused right now.
But that, I'm interested in that because I don't hear a lot of people sort of talking about that, right? Or do you think they have pressure in relations to these guys? I mean, Tua's going to second year. Pressure. This guy's got to figure it up. But what about the quarterback battle here in New Orleans? Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims.
I'm completely lost.
I don't think I was that confusing, huh?
You confused the living
leap out of me. It makes a lot of sense in my head. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Apple fall out of the tree and hit the ground. Pretty soon we realize we're earthly bound.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Cole Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hour number one for the Sports Hangover. Jordan, our questions of the day, sir?
Yeah. One has to do with the NBA, something that you mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
In last night's NBA playoff games, there were fans that crossed the line. What do you consider to be crossing the line between fans and players? You could comment or call in 800-998-1003 or tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter.
By the way, how excited are you about the match? You know the match?
Yeah, on TNT. I was explaining it yesterday.
Yeah, the next golf tournament.
Yes.
Brady, Rogers, Mickelson.
I'm very excited, actually, just to see the Twitter battle.
DeChambeau and Rogers. They went back and forth. DeChambeau tweeting at Brooks, "It's nice to be living rent-free in your head." And then on his Instagram story, he posted a picture of the famous Koepka eye roll now with a picture of Bryson giving him a toast and a little picture literally photoshopped on top of his cap. I'm sure that went over real well with Brooks Koepka. Do you think they just go at it one day on the green? Just whack. Somebody pulls out a pitching wedge. Like, what club are you taking out? You're going to get one good swing. What club? Is it driver?
I think
I'm going iron.
I think I'm going putter.
You're going putter?
Putter's kind of like the most heavy, solid
yeah,
one.
Yeah. I think I'm going pitching wedge.
Definitely not driver. Driver's like yeah, the weakest yeah. one.
You're going to get one before you're stopped or you get retaliated. I mean, it would be interesting, right, to see how that is. Oh, my goodness. They have their own segment right now live on SportsCenter, Brooks versus Bryson. It's made golf interesting. Rivalries.
What if we just made a fake Twitter beef, you and I?
It wouldn't be fake. Let's talk last night what happened. It wouldn't be fake. Let's be honest. Okay, so I gave you the scores last night. 76ers 120-95. In that game, Jordan, Russell Westbrook rolls his ankle upon exiting, going into the tunnel area. There's a little red covering, right, at Philly that covers most of that tunnel, which, by the way, was instituted several years ago because you had idiot fans throwing stuff at players and stuff. So that is for protection. Well, there's a little gap at the end of that to that first row. And here's one of Jordan's friends.
No.
This absolutely is one of your crew. Grabs a bag, you know, the little box of popcorn, the little red and white box of popcorn, and empties it on Russell Westbrook.
You know those big bags of popcorn? Thank God.
Is that what you would have done?
Thank God it wasn't. No, I'm saying thank God it wasn't one of those really big ones.
So Westbrook, it cascades on him, and he loses his mind. And you saw him have to be restrained, Jordan, by several people that were walking him to the locker room because he had hurt his ankle. After the game,
I will say his ankle did heal up really quick after that happened.
You know, there's something wrong with you.
No, I'm joking.
There's something wrong with you.
I'm joking.
Okay? Because if you were, you know, you got your chance to go play tight end in that first play at Saints practice, you blow your ACL out, and as you're making your way over, you know, I'm standing on a side and I throw something at you, laughing at you. Your ACL will heal up real fast too as you try to hobble towards
me.
Yeah,
that was messed up.
Okay, here's Westbrook.
That was messed up.
Let me be honest, man, this is getting out of hand, especially for me. The amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans is doing whatever the they want to do. It's just, it's out of pocket, man. It's out of pocket, seriously. Like, any other setting, you know, I'm all for the fans enjoying the game and having fun and, you know, it's part of sports. I get it. But there are certain things that cross the line. And any other setting, I know for a fact that fans and they wouldn't come up. A guy wouldn't come on the street and pour popcorn on my head because he know what happened. A guy wouldn't come up to me and talk mess about my kids and my family on the street because the response would be different. In these arenas, you got to start protecting the players, man.
I've said this before. I don't understand that mentality sometimes. I get you can get all emotional and you're happy. And if you even want to give me the, well, we've had COVID and been locked away, I get it. There's a level of lack of respect for people's lives or just humanity right now in the world that is very present. Like, I may boo Noodle Arm or may boo somebody. Like I said, you know, LeBron. I would never in my life even think about throwing something at him or much less do what happened in New York. It's not getting as much coverage. Right? Because I don't think Trey knew about it. But Trae Young's about to inbound the ball, and there's the video. Second row, by the way, at MSG. Second row will cost you a couple of G's. I would say double-digit G's.
I'll look it up.
At least, right? And this Yahoo spits at Trae Young's backside. His legs, whatever, I don't know. If you doubt it, there's a woman wearing sunglasses and an orange tank top who scooches to the right because she either hears or feels the spit from over on top of her left shoulder. I don't understand for the life of me. You think that you're that much of a baller, obviously, and you're doing well for yourself to be able to sit second row at a playoff game at MSG, right? I mean, seriously. you spitting on someone? Like Russell Westbrook said, you wouldn't do that at a restaurant, at a club, or anybody else. So what makes you think that you can spit at a game? There's cameras everywhere for starters. You're an idiot. Now, the 76ers did come out today with a statement. And they found, I mean, the fan in Philly got escorted immediately. They all were pointing at him, and he got ejected from the game.
By the way,
but
section 210, row 18.
Yeah, section 210. We're not at second row on the floor.
I'm looking at some.
Yeah.
Close to seven a pop.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you it's probably 20 grand. Like Spike Lee seats, like I'm telling you, remember when they tried to kick him out and not give him a seat? I mean, I'm telling you, that guy probably spent close to 20 grand. Him and a plus one or whatever. So, I don't know. But the 76ers released a statement saying, after an investigation into the incident that occurred at last night's game, we have determined that the person involved will have his season ticket membership revoked, effective immediately. In addition, he will be banned from all events at Wells Fargo Center immediately. The Sixers apologized to Russell Westbrook and the Washington Wizards for being subjected to this type of unacceptable and disrespectful behavior. There is no place for it in our sport arena. So, Jordan, is that what needs to happen? You're banned forever. Like, you're done. Your rights to be there and attend not only events covering that team, but as what the Sixers just did, anything in that arena.
I think it's more of a setting a standard, right. Like showing
concerts,
fans.
Whatever. You're not allowed in that arena. I'm completely fine with that. And that's popcorn. Spitting is something beyond. That's a whole different level of disrespect, isn't it? That you could look at somebody and feel that you're, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what is the thought process that makes you go.
Probably intoxicated.
Yeah. I don't care.
No, I agree with you, but, I mean, I'm just saying.
But what I'm saying is, like, what does that tell you about that individual? That you feel that animosity, or just how low you think that person is. Because my man who thinks he's got a lot of money, my guess is Trae Young probably makes more than him. Or will at some point in his career. So congratulations for dropping 20,000 on a seat, and then you show me literally how low of a human being you can be. I can't understand that. Yep, this is the mecca of basketball, and you're going to hear all day today how great it was. Spike Lee, you're going to see the video of him dancing. They were down 15. If the Hawks would have gone Pelicans, they'd be down 2-0 in the series. And then everybody having a conniption fit. But all you're going to hear today is how great a place that is, how great a vibe that is. Yet second row, you have a Yahoo spitting. By the way, game one, you remember what they were chanting to Trae Young at the very beginning? F you, Trae. F you, Trae Young. F Trae Young. Classy. I mean, this is a classy, the mecca of basketball, baby.
I think, well, Trae Young kind of did play into it as well.
Oh, stop it.
He did.
Stop it. So players can't show emotion, or what? You want them to not?
No, he showed emotion. Interact? But what I'm saying is, I don't think you the whole fan base as a whole should be, you know.
What?
Because of, you know, the actions of one arena, it shouldn't be.
Well, I mean,
deemed like.
Well, I'm being
disgusting.
Told it's the greatest place in the world. I'm being told it's the best fans. I'll play bite after bite if you'd like. They were alive. It was great. Here's Spike Lee.
9 minutes.
Magical night last night.
Magic.
The world's most famous arena, the Garden, and the faithful, the Orange Blue faithful. We were down in the halftime, but I don't think nobody in the Garden was giving up. And you saw the exuberation on 7th Avenue after the game. I ran the other way when I saw that crowd jumping around. But it was a great night at the Garden. And as you guys, as Alan, you said before, a lot of New Yorkers live in New York, so they're not going to have a home court advantage in the State Farm Arena. New York is going to show up in Atlanta this Friday.
Well, that's great.
Friday night, this Sunday afternoon. New York will be in the house.
I'm sorry. I can't stand that. I can't stand it. By the way, we have an update.
Yeah, New York finally. The New York Knicks banned the fan for spitting on Trae Young during Game 2 at Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. per CBS Sports. It looks like the fan will be banned indefinitely, and they put out a public statement apologizing to the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young for what happened last night during the game.
So he's banned indefinitely now from the Garden.
Correct.
Yeah. Again, congratulations.
Trae Young. Trae Young responded to it, mm-hmm. with a tweet: "Keep your mask on, my boy," and hashtag That's just childish.
It's unbelievable. I can't feel like. I mean, and I get you can get, you know, Tiger fans are bad. There's hate. I understand that. I mean, at some point in time, though, can we not be human?
Let's not put any
some sort of decency.
Any bodily fluid.
Yes, exposing certain body parts, Jordan, as we were discussing during the break. That also crosses the line, in case you're wondering.
Just in case you're wondering.
Just in case you're wondering. You know how you end this for real. Let the player go at him.
Malice at the Palace.
John DeShays are next on ESPN New Orleans. And all I choose I don't mind. As we
sit so shall we find. And when it's getting old, then I'll still be. It's Mike DeTillia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails operate a comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. Once more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Summer, it's almost here, but Memorial Day savings are already at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Like 5 bags of Garden Fresh mulch for just $10. Save on everything from flower beds to a fresh coat of paint. From power tools to ceiling fans. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings, here now, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Limit 75 bags per customer. Color selection varies by store. While supplies last, continental U.S. only.
Sorry to interrupt your jams, murder mystery podcasts, or motivational beach noises, but we got something else you might like to hear. It's called cash. That's the sound of an extra $250 after your first 10 deliveries with Uber Eats. That's right, an extra $250 on top of all the other cash you'll make during those first 10 deliveries. If that sounds good, visit t.uber.com/extra250. Uber Eats, deliver with us. Limited time offer, terms apply. See t.uber.com/extra250 for more details.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As always, we appreciate the time Mr. John DeShazer gives us. Covers your New Orleans Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com, and color analyst right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Follow him on Twitter at John DeShazer. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kat. How you doing?
I'm doing good, especially since Jordan hasn't spit on me or thrown popcorn at me. So that's a pretty good
it's
thing.
It's coming, you know, throughout the show.
It's coming. I never know what to look like. Dude, how terrible is that? To me, it sort of does absolutely take away from those games. Knicks coming back 15 and Philly going up 2-0. John, you've covered sports a long, long time. And I remember, you know, Saints games where he threw bottles on the, I didn't, but, you know, fans threw, you know, beer bottles that led to, you know, how beer is, dispensed at arenas. You
remember, I'm not throwing my beer. That's $10 a pop.
I understand.
I'm not throwing any.
John, you've been around things like that, but man, I for the life of me can't understand some guy's second row at MSG probably played $20,000 and spits at a player.
I'll never understand it. I mean, spitting on another person is one of the most demeaning things you can do. And to do it, to anybody is despicable, and to pay money to go do it is even worse to me. I mean, and you know, I guess, you know, dropping the popcorn on Westbrook is also, you know, it's pretty despicable. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, fans understand that players pretty much can't retaliate. You know, they're going to be grabbed, they're going to be held, and so they try to do it, and I guess they feel like they can get away with no repercussions. And to ban them indefinitely doesn't go far enough. You know, you ban them permanently. I mean, what are we talking about indefinitely? I mean, you know, ban them permanently and be done with that, because I just think the level of disrespect that goes along with mm-hmm. that is it's really got me triggered, because it's one of those things where you wish Russell Westbrook had been able to get a hold of that dude. You wish Trae Young had known, and he and his teammates had been able to get a hold of that dude, and that would, you know, obviously stop that kind of thing. But you know, it's just despicable, man. It's, you know, that's one of those things. You finally get fans back, and then you right. see that kind of mess.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, John. We literally have not even had a full week, right? I mean, this weekend was really the first time, and you saw it Friday. It was by the hour. All of a sudden, these teams are going to allow 10,000, 15,000. It was great. It made for great basketball over the weekend. I should be talking to you about that, but I'm sitting here going, I mean, I just for the life of me can't understand why you would feel that way. You know, Jordan's okay with the FU chance to Trae Young. He also probably sings nice and loud, you know, neck for LSU and all of that. But, you know, and JD just said, okay, he's okay with that. But there's certain things you can or can't do. I just, for the life of me, I don't understand that, man.
So, and on top of that, their teams are winning. What are you doing? your team's winning. So what's your issue with this individual that you feel like you need to pile on that way? If you want to curse the dude out, fine. If you want to talk about his family, I think some things are out of bounds. But hey, do you? But when you start doing that kind of thing, and you know those things are by law considered, you know, physical assaults, but the player can't respond in kind.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit one sided to me, because you know if you know Russell Westbrook looks like a dude who can take it, who can give it to you.
You know, he looks like drop that. You're getting dropped. You're going to sleep out on a street.
Who was the basketball guy that tried to fight Nate Robinson? Yes, that's what's happening.
Yeah, you're gonna
Yeah. Russell looks like he can lullaby you pretty quick. So you know he ain't somebody to be fooling around with. And so, you know, that's cowardice on top of despicable.
Yeah. But to your point, popcorn's one thing. Spitting, I just, for the life of me, my man paid. You know he paid, right? Second row MSG, he paid.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the nonsense aspect of it. But to this point, JD, what have you thought about the postseason, man? We talked about it yesterday, some words or some players or things that have stood out, because as much as we probably shouldn't, I do. I look at it through Pelicans glasses. You know, this is what the Pels would need, or what imagine if the Pels are facing Luka and the Mavs, or this is what they would need. And, you know, fight, leadership, obviously shot making, but grit. Like, these are different words that kept popping up from callers and stuff. To this point in the postseason, what stands out to you that, like, is a common denominator from these teams that win?
Well, first, you know, it's been riveting. And second, I don't know if you guys watch Chappelle's show, if you're familiar with it, but I feel like Sicker Johnson. I feel like Sicker Johnson. I'm hating on everybody because the Pels ain't in it. So, you know, I'm just – but, I mean, it's been Luka Doncic, which we knew, obviously, from watching him and seeing the Pelicans play against him, is a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, and I don't know – and I don't know if I'm saying this the right way, and I don't want to – I don't think – Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have the proper intestinal fortitude to take on that challenge, because those are supposed to be two of the best defenders in the NBA, and neither one of them have said, I got him. And to me, that's shirking your responsibility if you're those guys in that position who you are supposed to be defensively. You're supposed to say, okay, he cooking us, I got him. And neither one of them has specifically said, move out of the way, call all the picks, I'm coming through, give me room, but I got it. And to me, I just don't think they've had the kind of fortitude that you want to see in that situation, because the dude's wearing them out, and somebody's got to take on the challenge. And those two seem to be the ones to take on in position to take on the challenge, and they hadn't done it. And meanwhile, John Morant's going to be an issue for the Pelicans for years and years and years. because Ja Morant can do it, and I'm afraid of what he's going to be able to do once he's able to consistently make a 15, 18, 20 footer. Because right now he can just get to wherever he wants to on the floor, and if he's making a consistent shot, I don't know what you're going to be able to do with him with the ball in his hands all the time. I liked him last year, rookie of the year, but this year, and especially in the playoffs, he has jumped up to where he's like, I'm that dude, and if you want to be on this team, you're going to have to follow me and watch me work and watch me do my thing, and man, he's special, man. And then we watched the Hawks. The Hawks, you know, we saw the Hawks make an NBA record, like 10 straight threes against the Pelicans in the third quarter. The Hawks got shooters, man. The Hawks got shooters. And if you got shooters, you can win. Now, they shot themselves out of it last night. I thought in the third quarter, they just relied on the three so much, they just shot themselves out of it. But when they're cooking, when they're making threes, they're going to be a tough out, man. They're going to be a tough out for anybody if they're making shots the way they can make shots. So, right now, it's been fun to watch, man. It's been real fun to watch. You know, of course, I'm hating on the Lakers. Don't want to see them win nothing. And you know, because Monty Williams would never listen to me. But I think Phoenix ought to sit Chris tonight.
I agree.
I think they ought to sit him. I think they ought to sit him and get him as close to healthy as they can for game four and go from there, because clearly he ain't 100%. And I think they ought to sit him and get him as close as they can to 100% and go from there.
You know, John, you brought up a lot of excellent points and things. One of the things I touched on yesterday, too, is you better have a backcourt in the postseason in the Western Conference. You can't come to play, bro. That's the old knife in the gunfight sort of thing. 45 points, the Jazz backcourt. You don't think Donovan Mitchell makes a difference there. But from Dame to what you're talking about, I mean, Ja with 47. I'm not saying that you need that, but you – I mean, again, Luka, 30. I can just go down the list. I mean, go look at the games and the teams that are winning. You have to have a backcourt. They either have to defend or they have to shoot. Or, to your point, man, I was texting Jordan during the game. Chris Paul, I mean, the field general that you reference so much and you hear about, just dribbling with purpose, going to a certain spot, controlling the tempo of the game. You got to have that, man. You see these teams that have that. It's just all the difference in the world, you know? I mean, Schroeder for the Lakers, kind of the same thing. He was a big difference. AD stepped up, but he was a massive difference as to why they won game two.
Yeah, all of those guys are guys who can take over games, man. I mean, all of those guys are, and you're right, if you're going to play in the Western Conference or in the NBA now and you're going to be successful, you better have somebody in the backcourt who can flat do it. If you don't, you're at a disadvantage going into every game. You're at a disadvantage, especially going into a series, because, you know, think about even the Knicks, who are not a good shooting team. But Derrick Rose jumped up and channeled the old Derrick Rose. And so, you know, you got a guy in the backcourt who did it for him along with Reggie Bullock. Yeah. So you better have some guards, man. If you don't have guards who can consistently make plays, and I mean, I'm not saying the Pelicans can't win going through Zion and going through B.I. But, man, life is a whole lot more different when you got point guards, man. Donovan Mitchell, look at what Donovan Mitchell meant to Utah. Yeah. Utah scored 141 last night, man. 141.
Yeah.
141 in regulation, and it was kind of easy.
You brought up a point, not to interrupt you, but what I was making yesterday is, and we saw this year, you called those games, John. The win on Milwaukee, you know, the win against the Sixers, like, you can see this team that the Pelicans had was capable of winning that night. You brought up the key, and it's something I brought up yesterday. You got to beat a team four times. Three times, you got to do that to get to the finals. You got to need four wins in round one, four wins in round two, and four wins in the conference finals. That's why I'm saying that. It's like, that's the key. Sure. Can the Pelicans show up on any given night in the season and do that? Absolutely, with the team they currently had. But the roster needs to be able to beat Mitchell, you know, Dame, Ja, Luka four times. That's the struggle.
Yeah. Can you win when everybody knows your stuff? When you're coming up the court and they call out your play for you, can you still get a bucket? Because that's what the playoffs are. Ain't no scouting no more in the playoffs. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows the plays you run. There's only so much room on the court. You're not going to reinvent the wheel all of a sudden. You got to beat them four times, and you got to beat them four times doing what you do, because when they know it's coming, your guy's got just got to be better than their guy. Like last night, Donovan Mitchell was just better than Dylan Brooks, and Dylan Brooks has been a hell of a player in the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell was just better, and it made that game different. Trae Young's just been better than what the Knicks have put out against him defensively so far. You know, you just got to be able to, when you stare at that guy, Dame Lillard can look at a dude, and you know he's going to pull it, and he pulls it anyway.
Anyway.
You know, that's the kind of, that's you know, Luka, you know what he's going to do. You know he's going to go left, and he's going to shoot that step back three. What can you do about it? Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to be able to do in the playoffs. You got to be able to execute your stuff when everybody knows it's coming.
John, let's wrap up in the final 30 seconds here. Give me who you like tonight, Bucks and Heat.
Man, I love the Heat from last year, but I think the Bucks, man, I love Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
And I want Drew Holiday to win one, and I think the Bucks got him. I think Drew Holiday has made such a difference with that team, and I think the Bucks got him.
100%. Suns and Lakers.
I think the Lakers win because I hope Chris Paul sits this game so the Lakers can run them off the court if Chris ain't playing. I want to see the Suns come back in game four and try to steal that one.
Nuggets and Trailblazers.
Ooh, that's a tough one, but I'm going with Portland. I'm going with Portland at home because I think Dame Lillard is going to show out and do something big and nasty against them. So I'm going with Portland.
Yeah, kind of waiting for that this series, aren't we? So we'll see, man. Appreciate the time, sir. I know the Pel season's done, but we're absolutely still paying attention to the playoffs. We know the Pels now will draft 10th in the upcoming NBA draft. We'll touch on that next time we have you on, sir.
All right, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yep, for sure. I'm John DeShazer over on Twitter, and coming up real soon, some stuff over at NewOrleansSaints.com. Ooh. We'll have OTAs at some point. I'm sorry, minicamp in June. So, yeah. That wasn't a shot. I forgot.
No,
I forgot.
That was 100% a shot.
Why? Because every other quarterback and team's talking. Sports Hangover continues next. Andrew Allegretta will check in from Clearwater on ESPN New Orleans.
Everyone knows it's me and my arrow.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
That's why Super Beta Prostate is the number one prostate supplement recommended by urologists. You can try a full 30-day bottle free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-482-7181.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-482-7181.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-482-7181. 1-800-482-7181.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Rumor has it there is a baseball game at some point, Jordan, this evening over in Clearwater, Florida. So bring in the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Andrea Allegretta. Now it will be a couple of minutes, 47 minutes after the 3 o'clock start of Memphis UCF. That could be early evening, late into the night. Never know. Southern Miss, Andrew, they didn't finish their game till 2:30 in the morning last night in their tournament. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. I don't really like starting with the juju that potentially will finish at 2:30 in the morning tonight.
Oh no, that's not what I was getting. I was kind of more alluding to you have a lot of time to go hang out on the beach is what I'm getting. I'm still fascinated with the beach thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just wondering, you are scheduled to call a game at some point, but you know, if you take a nap on the beach, you just happen to, oh, I got to get going here. I mean, you know how to set a timer in Siri, huh? You can take a nap on the beach and just be ready to go.
I mean, I will say there was some quality time at Tommy's Tiki Bar outside of the hotel yesterday as the sun was setting in beautiful Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah.
There was some quality time at the pool. There was some quality time in the water, in the ocean. So, yeah, you know, it's a balance. Life is a balance.
And you know why you were able to do that, because the Tulane Green Wave took care of business in game number one. We touched on it when you were on here as well, that it was important to do that. It puts you in a good spot. So let's just start there, though. The starting pitching man for the Green Wave, Trent Johnson, who we had a Gary Smith on yesterday. He's like, that's not even his role. That's really not a guy that you would think would do that. But his performance to be able to limit that team to just one run, and more importantly, not have to tax your bullpen.
That was pretty much the pitching performance of the career for Trent Johnson. Like, for those that don't necessarily know his story, it's been very up and down. And he's very candid with the fact that, look, he's been at Tulane for a handful of years. He's mostly a long relief type of guy. He's got a 4.5 career ERA. Then all of a sudden he shows up in the most significant game of his career, which, quite frankly, Gus, could be the last time he ever throws. And he just dominates Houston, going up against a guy that certainly could be pitching professional baseball next year in Robert Gasser. So that was perfect. They handed him to Keegan Gillis. So it went from one mainstay in this program to another mainstay, and it was perfect. It could not have gone better for Travis Hewitt and Daniel Latham. That was exactly what you needed that night.
To get those four runs, a little small ball, little long ball as well. I got it from both types of scoring.
Yeah, they got Walker Birchfield hitting a solo shot, I think, in the seventh. They got a safety squeeze from Jake LaPrairie, who is, I think he's a guy that fans will come to love in Uptown. He's a scrappy 5'9", as a couple of undersized fellows ourselves, Gus. I think you can root for the guy that's 5'9". He can play down a bunch, but also comes up with some big doubles throughout the course of his career. They got it in all of the ways. And again, it's a 4-1 victory, so you don't think the offense was anything overwhelming. But again, you're going up a guy in Robert Gasser for Houston, who could be a second, third, fourth round draft pick this year. I mean, he's been lights out. He has been the best thing, and quite frankly, the only thing that Houston has had throughout the course of the 21 season. So, 4-1 with Trent Johnson doing what he did, from small ball, long ball from Walker Birchfield, his first home run of the season. Like, again, Gus, it's just, you go into that game and you talk about, as a Tulane person, who you think are going to be the stars. And it was the role players that made the most impact, for sure, with Trent Johnson and Walker Birchfield. And Jake LaPrairie, to an extent, a bit of a role player. They got everything from lineup a couple of days ago.
So that leads us to today, and two games today, and Tulane's the second of the two games. Somewhere around evening time, that should start. How difficult is it taking on a team? A, there's history with Billy Moll. Todd and I were kind of talking about him yesterday. He remembers calling a lot of his games and stuff. That interested. There is some Tulane history in this, but also he didn't get to play this season thanks to COVID. So how difficult is it kind of taking on a team where you don't know? And then Gary Smith threw in a stat yesterday, dude, that Tulane can take care today. History and statistics, man, kind of, it's a good chance they might win the whole thing. So today's a big game.
I say this very cautiously because I understand everyone's mood and temperament, but the tournament sets up nicely for Tulane. Look, South Florida is throwing a very good pitcher today, but in his most recent start against East Carolina, that is the team that will represent undoubtedly the American in the NCAA tournament, maybe a second team if ECU does not win this tournament. But against East Carolina, the guy that USF is throwing tonight, 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs. So it's not going to be a walk on the clock by any stretch. I don't know how hard it is necessarily to play a team that you have not played so far this season. I think, at the risk of being terribly simplistic, It's how well does Jack Aldrich throw for 2 lanes here tonight? And how well does the guy from South Florida throw here tonight? I don't think the players on the field give a rip that Billy Moll played at Tulane and was the 2003 selection for all-conference freshman team. I don't think they care in the slightest. I think it's how well does Jack Aldrich throw for the most part tonight.
And I guess that's what I was going to wrap up with you, Andrew, is the keys tonight. Is it obviously who's going to get that start there? Do you think Tulane's aggressive again? I mean, you mentioned sacrifice, but that's sort of the style, I guess, that Travis Jewett has done some this year, and why not, I guess, keep doing that?
I think he likes that stuff. I think when he feels like his team needs a shot in the arm, he's going to try to get Colin Burns done very quickly in this ball game. Burns has always led off, and I've said this a couple of times, he's a top three player in this conference throughout the course of the season. So you can get Colin Burns done. You've got Jake LaFleur that lays down a pretty good bunt. And you snap your fingers and Colin Burns can be at third with one down in the bottom of the first inning, and all of a sudden you got things going. Now, Tulane will be the home team. One of those changes this season, it used to be like a coin flip. You start to choose between home versus road. But this year, the higher seed will always be the home team. So if Jack Aldrich can come out and get a good start and Colin Burns gets on, Travis Jewett's going to want to throw the pedal down. If they get tonight, like you said, Gus, things are sitting in an awfully good position here in Clearwater.
If all else fails, voice of the Green Wave, Andrew Allegretta, just go what they did to the Cardinals yesterday and start blaming things on the South Florida guy's hat and start saying that there's substance on the hats there. Did you see that meltdown yesterday with the Cardinals? My goodness.
I see it all the time, though. Like, you can go back to Mississippi State being frustrated with Braden Oldfield.
Yes, that's where I was going.
Throwing it right down their throats, and all Chris Lemonis, the head coach for the Bulldogs, could do is, like, I don't know, maybe he's got pine tar on his glove.
Right.
I mean, like, it's the method of last resort. It's like the pitcher is just jamming it down our throat, so let's try to throw him off his rhythm by just, like, randomly accusing him of pine tar.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. It's nuts. It's crazy when you look at it like that. Final thing here in about 10, 15 seconds. I was talking a little bit about the popcorn and, you know, Trae Young getting spit at yesterday. Both of these Yahoos have been banned indefinitely from MSG and over at Wells Fargo. Have you ever called a game where something like that happened that, you know, where a player was either thrown at, spit at, or, you know, whatever by a fan? I'm trying to think.
I haven't. My only mildly humorous story is I remember a pitcher for Marshall University getting tossed from the ball game in the first inning because, like a knucklehead, he didn't take the can of dip out of his back pocket. That's the best I can do when it comes to, like, random substances and dumb things happening.
Yeah. No place for fans to be spinning on anybody.
No.
That's good. Insane, man.
No.
Andrew,
no.
Good luck. You know, enjoy yourself. And take a nap. I don't think you're going to be calling baseball at 2:30, but it'll be in the evening.
I hope not. So. I hope not. We got a couple of good pitchers throwing between Tulane and South Florida, so I'm thinking a nice pitcher's duel here tonight, Gus.
Well, we'll be tuning in for sure at A. Allegretta. It's the way to follow Andrew over on Twitter, Green Wave Baseball over on Twitter as well. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, for sure. That's it. Hour one in the books. Jordy, what are you looking at over there in CBSSports.com?
All of a sudden, I look to my right, and I see players on the field.
Uh-huh.
CBS